Hello there, and welcome to our podcast. My name is Martha Wells Hammond, and I am the ICAM coordinator of Library Services. And I want to say thanks to Chad Smith, the ICAM technical consultant, for setting up our sound equipment, Chad. And we have traveled to Center Grove High School in Greenwood, Indiana, to speak with Ron Zaro, one of our ICAM digital rights managers. I chose Ron for our first podcast of the new school year because I found Ron to be very engaging and energetic and knowledgeable about what he does here at Center Grove High School in a lot of areas. Nice to see you again, Ron.
Well, thank you, Martha and Chad. It's a privilege to be invited to speak on your website.
Thank you. So let's get to it.
Okay.
I'd like for you to tell us about your position here at Center Grove. What is your title and what are your duties?
Okay. My title, I guess, would be video technology specialist. I take care of the video services and special projects across the whole corporation. So I could be working in the high school or the middle school or for any of the elementary schools. So I'll take care of streaming video. I take care of special projects for technology equipment installations in the rooms. And then I also am the liaison between IT and special services in looking at special adaptive technologies and the ICAM materials, as you've already mentioned, and any other special needs like that.
I just want to say that when Ron became a digital rights manager, he was, to date, the longest DRM in waiting that we had ever experienced. It took him a long time between referral and taking that training. We're
so
glad.
You got me.
We're so glad you did. Okay, so Ron, because we have been talking and emailing now for a couple of years, I know that before you came to Center Grove, you retired from a 31-year career. Would you please tell us about your previous work?
Sure. Yes, I was 31 years at Eli Lilly and Company, and I was in my last assignment, I was in the technology area, the IT area. If I'd been in other areas, I'd been in video, I'd produced and directed the corporate videos, I'd been in IT training, I was in our video studio, broadcast studio, kind of like an engineer over all the equipment, over three video studios there. Did a lot of things. At Lilly, and afterwards I wanted to start looking for an assignment. I actually took off a year, but after that I had considered teaching, and then this opportunity came up here at the school corporation, and I talked to them and they agreed, and here I am today.
And here you are. And it's, well, from what you just said, it's kind of evident what you were. But I'd like for you to talk about what you were able to bring from Eli Lilly into an educational setting.
Oh, yes, okay. That was an interesting adjustment going from a corporate world to the world of academia, especially at Lilly. Lilly is a highly regulated company, regulated by the government. So when it came to the IT world and other things, there were procedures that had to be followed and spelled out, and when you launched a project, you had to follow a certain scope, and it had to be done a certain way. I found out that schools are not as highly regulated, and so it's more open to do things on the fly. Can be good, can be bad. So coming here, I just tried to bring a little more structure to the piece of my job that I did into my projects. An example was, I think my first project they gave me, I went and talked to all the people involved. I came back and very corporate-like, I put a scope document together, talked about what's the purpose of the project, what's the goal, what are the deliverables, what is the current situation, what's the desired state, what's the future state, how are we going to implement this, timelines, who is involved, and what their tasks were going to be. Something, you know, so you can see a document like that kind of blew them away in the school corporation. And they said that I didn't need to do such a lengthy process, and I let them know that that was my short document.
Well, and that's what I found is so interesting about your transition from Eli Lilly to the high school is the business-like approach that you're able to bring to the setting. And in talking with you, and you've told me of conversations you've had with teachers and such, and I just think that would be a really streamlined and helpful way for people to look at this acquisition of AIM and assistive technology for students if they could take another approach. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that.
Yes, I've had several in the past. Maybe a special ed teacher would say, I need these things, or the services would say, I need these things. And since I was the liaison, it would usually come across my desk. And so I would look at it, and not that I had the final say, but I had a big voice in an acquisition or in a certain direction. And one time a piece came across, a teacher was interested in purchasing some equipment, and based on the things that they told me, I sent them an email and said, the student doesn't need this because this other piece of equipment will work. And immediately that the flags went up for everybody, and we had to convene in a conference. And I said, well, you only gave me a certain bit of criteria. I said, you need to present it like a business case to me. What are the students' needs? So I like to come at it from a needs approach or a performance-based approach. What does the student need? And let's list those needs out, and then what is it going, and technology-wise, what's it going to take or what program is necessary to meet each one of those needs? And I told the teacher, I said, hey, you're asking for A, I might give you A plus, something greater than what you're asking for. I said, I'm not here to really to be a deterrent. I'm here to help you and be sure that we get what the child needs. So coming from the business perspective, I look at it from that approach.
And that really is the model that a CCC should follow, according to when I was in school. That's what we learned. It's what does the student need, not what do we have and how can we make that fit that.
Yes.
Yes.
The other thing is, once I look at the equipment, you know, I'm not qualified to assess the student. I might get the technologies available, but then I go to Kathy Stricker here at Center Grove, wonderful special ed director, work with her, and she can line someone up that can help do the assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Visually impaired, for example, a student was having difficulty reading the material. So we said, we need to get them a laptop. Well, what size screen do we need? So we were able to get several size laptops in, had the student come in, read the same material on those laptops. We were able to determine that the student needed a larger one, and we could get that, make it available for them.
And were you able to get that equipment from the patents project?
I haven't reached out to that source yet for
and you
equipment.
Can borrow from them. All the regional coordinators have lending libraries, mm-hmm. So you can take something for 6 weeks or something and try it out with the student and see if it's going to work before you make a purchasing decision.
Okay, so. Great. Watch out. I'll be down there.
Okay, last year at the Patents Tech Expo, you encountered a piece of technology called the Intel Reader, and I know
yes.
that people love it and people hate it. So. You're one of the people who actually love that piece of technology. I wonder if you can tell us why you were drawn to that and how you have used it here in your school.
Okay, we have, went to the conference, and I always look at all the vendors, see what they have. And I was familiar with some of the students that we had here. We had some visually impaired students. One of the students even had a cane here in the school. So some are more severe than others. And I saw this device and I was pretty interested in it, how it could immediately take a picture of text and the device could then read it back to you. And there wasn't a lot of manipulation. Click, and then once it finishes processing, you press one other button and it reads it back. I was really intrigued by this, but then I also found out it did other things. And so that might help more than just vision-impaired students. There are some that have some reading disabilities. First, I got a demo model and circulated it through a couple of teachers. And then after the demo model, we determined there was some interest here. and then we made a purchase of a few, and then I got them in the hands of the proper teachers. But the one of the interesting things we got it to do is it not only reads the text backs, it also reads an MP3 file, and I hope it doesn't sound like a commercial for the Intel Reader, but it also creates an OPF file. And what's the wonderful thing about the OPF file, as maybe most of your listeners know, is that I now can use Read Out Loud. And I can simply plug the device into a computer and transfer the file over. And I can, and we had one of the middle school students using Read Out Loud with a custom-made book that was not available as an e-book. And mm-hmm. And I talked to the teacher, and the teacher said that the student was given options. Do you want to read, or do you want to do this other task today? And they didn't want to do either one. But when we started them creating this book with these books with the Intel Reader, the student would say, "Will I be able to do that today?" So there was motivation, and they were wanting to do it, and the reading was starting to improve. Unfortunately, at the end of the year ended, so it'll be interesting to see how the student comes back this fall.
Excellent. Very good. You told me also about something very exciting that's going to happen at the high school this fall.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us about that? It's happening in several other schools.
Yes. One of the trends, Center Grove has been very fortunate in that the high school students this fall, every high school student will be assigned an iPad, and since I'm wearing that IT liaison, then the challenge is getting the ICAM books for those students onto the iPad. So those are going to be some of the challenges that we have that are coming around the corner.
And do you have a view yet of how this is going to change the environment, the teaching learning environment?
Wow. That will be interesting to see. You know, these are just devices. You know, how people learn is still the same. So if I'm learning with a flashcard or an electronic flashcard, it's still the same process. And maybe makes it a little more engaging, I suppose, or maybe a little more fun from the perspective of the student. But really, you're using a lot of the same techniques. And many of them, some of the studies have shown that some of the electronic apps do work well, but sometimes some of the hard copy stuff works well also.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's generational.
It is, and even for the teachers, too.
Yes.
But sometimes there are teachers that don't absorb it so well.
And that's one thing that I really appreciate about Center Grove. It's like the center of technology. And I know you say you're just the tech guy, but you're responsible for a lot of this.
Now, our IT director, Julie Bowenkamp, we're very fortunate to have her in the school district. She has a great IT vision.
So the next thing that's coming up is the MediaCast. MediaCast.
I mentioned I take care of streaming services here. We have a streaming media server here. The model of the past has been teachers have VHS tapes and DVDs, and they take each individual one and show it in the classroom, and then one grade school is unable to share that material with another grade school because it's residing in their library. Well, MediaCast does several things. One, it allows us to take our existing VHS tapes and DVDs and encode them or digitize the material and put them up on the server, and then teachers can check them out. If we have one VHS tape, only one person can check it out electronically. So they can look at those things right from their classroom. They don't have to go down to the media center. They just go straight to their computer, go to the MediaCast server, search for the video, and they can begin playing it. It's really pretty nice. And they can also use it to stream live presentations. So maybe a Christmas program. Maybe there's going to be overflow. The gym doesn't hold everybody. So now we can migrate parents into the overflow rooms and show the event live by hooking a camera to it.
That's excellent. That's very good. Okay, and now I want to talk on a more personal note.
Okay.
I know that you and I, in a previous conversation, had talked about your son, Zach.
Yes.
He's a student here at Center Grove. And I would like for you to introduce Zach.
Oh, okay. Zachary, yeah. Oh, Zach. He's just turned 17. He's a special needs boy. He's more low functioning. He falls in that category, kind of stumps the neurologist. You know, to look at him, he looks like a typical child, but it's quite obvious he's probably functioning about a three-year-old level. So, but he's a good little guy, great kid. Being here in the school system gives me a chance to check up on him and see how he's doing. And on the other hand, it also gives me a chance to advocate for him and check up on him and make sure the school corporation and the teachers and the aides are doing the things that are best for him, too. So it kind of works both ways. I don't hesitate popping into the classroom and smiling and waving or just going by. Or sometimes I sit down and have lunch with him. So Zach's a pretty good kid. He's been in the school corporation for a number of years, and it's just a wonderful thing. That was the reason I wanted to come to the school, so that I would have the same time off that he would have. So it does help the family environment at home. Zach can't manage by himself, so somebody has to be with him when mm-hmm. he's home. So absolutely. This is a perfect job.
And so by helping your family, then you're helping other families by bringing your expertise and your vision. I mean, it sounds like Zach actually inspires you to
yes.
make good decisions for the other students.
Well, that too. And something I hadn't told you about is we have a parent advisory committee just for Center Grove. And so some of the special ed parents have been invited, and we come together periodically about the things we like, about the things we don't like. It's open to talk about anything, good and bad, because the goal is to make things better for all of the students here. But you got to be your own advocate. Parents got to be their own advocate. Even you would think, okay, here I am working in the school corporation. You think everything would just go right along with the IEP and other things, but that's a perfect world. But we don't live in a perfect world, so parents need to get in there and check up and make sure things are going right.
Great advice. And Ron, thank you so much for talking with us today. I hope that you have given a lot of information to people. And if you need to speak with Ron about any of the subjects he brought up, I think he might welcome an email.
That'd be fine.
And he can maybe steer you in the right direction. And remember that your Patton's Regional Coordinator here in Center Grove is Jeff Bond, and he also can be of assistance to you. But today, Ron, we just really appreciate that you've spent so much time with us to tell us your stories, and it's been fascinating.
Okay, thank you very much. My pleasure.